Hey, everybody, this is Dominique. Are you ready to do more with your life and money? We are winding up a four-part series today on creating walkaway wealth. And today I'm going to give you some strategies to put money back in your pocket through your employer benefit plan. I have seen on average five figures left on the table, and I want to show you how to get some of that back. So stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hello, everybody. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients to achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast, where I welcome you here every week to help you with things like financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. So we're all about helping you take that red pill to leave the matrix of the average so you can live a life of financial contentment. So it's all about that, man. It's all about living a more meaningful, value-filled life where you build margin to do the things that you love to do and spend time with the people that you love. So that's what I'm all about. And we have been talking about creating walkaway wealth strategies for employer benefits today, which is part four of a four-part series. If you want to go back, we talked about equity compensation, how to maximize wealth there. We've talked about how to maximize wealth in your 401k. Last week, we talked about pensions. And today, we're going to talk about employer benefits, because this is something basically no matter where you are, no matter who you work for, there are some type of employer benefits that you're entitled to. And the reason why is because on the other end of that, which you don't know about sometimes, is that the employer gets a tax deduction for those things. So that's why they give them out, because they get, when they provide those, they're getting a big tax break for it. And so I want to make sure that you put some more money back in your pocket, because in doing this, I've seen people leave as much as five figures. I would say on average, probably five figures on the table through not utilizing the employer benefits that are provided to them and or the tax deductions that come along with utilizing those. So I want to walk you through some of the things that I think are, you know, what I would say the top three wealth building strategies in regards to that. And so that's where we're going to start. If you haven't seen parts one, two, and three, I advise that you go back and do that. So if you've been hanging with us for these four episodes, hoorah for you. You are a soldier. If you're new today, like I say, you can go back and listen to those. So, and at the end of the show, I'm going to put this in the show notes. That's the way that make sure you get that, just in case I get carried away, like I tend to do sometimes, and rabbit trail a little bit. I forget to give away stuff and yada, yada, yada. But by listening to this, you have access to the Creating Wealth Guide. You did, just go to the link in the bottom of the show notes and we'll get you a copy there. Put in your email address and your name and you can get a copy there. So you can follow along with some of this stuff that I'm talking about, because I'm going through a lot of the stuff that I go through in the guide. The guide has a little extra. This has a little extra too. So just listen to everything and download the guide and you'll have everything. That's the way to look at that. So, okay. So let's talk about these as this finale comes to a close here on what we're doing for creating walkaway wealth. And just to define walkaway wealth, this is the ability for you, once you are done collecting a paycheck from somebody, that you have enough margin built to live the life that you want. That's the real simple definition of it. At some point, you don't want to be economically dependent on somebody's W-2. Even if you go self-employed or whatnot, you want your investments to start paying you so that you make money while you're asleep. That's really kind of the goal of most people, because as life goes on, you want to spend more money. I'm sorry, it's more time. Time becomes a greater currency than money. Let's put it that way, because you can always get more money. But as you get older, you're not going to get more time, and you have less time, and you're going to want to start to spend time on relationships and things of that nature. But in order to do that, you're going to have margin, money margin mostly. And you can't be giving away 60, 70, 80 hours of your week when you have a finite or fixed amount of time to an employer. So that's, you know, whether you want to call it retirement or not, the point is you're going to need some income for that phase in your life. And I would call that walk away wealth. So you want to have the option. You don't want to be forced into that decision. You want to have the option that you choose when that happens, right? So there's strategies around how to do that. And there's ways to maximize your, you know, your employer benefits so that you can, you know, put some more money back in your pocket to build your financial plan. So let's talk about strategy number one. I think that you need to think about this from the standpoint of where the most bang for your buck is. And that's the order that I'm going to go in here. So the one that I think is obvious, and I've done so much on this, just go back and kind of YouTube me or Google me, and maybe you can put like Dominique Henderson CFP 401k, because I talk about this stuff a lot, because I think it's just, you know, stuff that I see people not maximizing. The first is the 401k. It's obvious, right? We talk about this in detail in part two of this series, so go back and look at that. But currently for 2018, you're allowed to throw $18,500 into your 401k on a pre-tax basis. So if you just do the math, if you make $98,500, you subtract $18,500, the government looks at as if you made $80,000. So you get a current tax break on this year's tax rates, and you'll pay taxes on that $18,500 that you put away. You'll pay taxes on the on that distribution out of an IRA or a 401k on the whole amount, but it may have grown to a really big amount, you know, over time. So pay me now or pay me later. I'd rather pay you later on a much bigger amount. That's fine. Just because my overall tax rate may be lower, may not. But the point is you get a current tax break that I see a lot of people not taking advantage of, and that's $18,500. So let's just, that's just the tax break. And it's hard to do the math on that because it depends on what tax bracket you're in. But let's just say you had a 6% match from an employer on a $150,000 salary, but you don't maximize it, right? Because you don't put any in, or you don't go up to the amount, that could be up to $9,000. You know, 6% of 150 is $9,000. So that's $9,000 you're leaving on the table by not participating in the 401k, along with the tax benefit that you're not getting of the $9,000 deduction that you would have. Let's just say you did 6%, straight 6%. You would get $9,000 that you would be contributing that would be a tax benefit for you, because it would reduce your taxable income dollar for dollar. Plus the employer would kick in $9,000. And so why wouldn't you do that? Anyways, that's some money left on the table. The next one would be the HSA. This is a newer plan, but a great plan, because it offers not only tax-free growth, but tax-free distributions as long as you use them for medical purposes. What I've been kind of positioning this part of your plan as to my clients is it's almost like your own self-funded long-term care policy. Long-term care is basically a benefit that you use to not dip into your nest egg. So if you ever are not able to do two of the activities of daily living, like bathing or eating or clothing yourself or using a restroom and all that kind of stuff like that, if you're ever not able to do that, then your long-term care policy will kick in. Well, the problem with long-term care policies is they're terribly expensive. I mean, you might pay as much as, you know, you may pay anywhere from $3,000 and up for, you know, a month for your long-term care policy. So, you know, rather than doing that, why not put, let's say you have a family, you're a family of four, and you have an employer HSA that you can participate in. Put $6,900 in there, which is what you can do for 2018, $6,900 for the family deduction, get the high deductible health plan. And you put that $6,900 out of that. Now, granted, you're going to have a little bit more out-of-pocket medical expenses. That's not the scope of this podcast, but that's the reality. You will. Put that $6,900 away every year, and I bet you that grows at a faster rate than what you would be paying out for a long-term care policy and the benefit that you would get. Because those benefits, that's the first thing, on a long-term care policy are fixed. You know, it's a pool of money. Once you run out of it, you're gone. And the cost of healthcare at that age when you would be using is going up. Instead, you can start a, you know, an HSA at age 25 and work 40 years, and you're going to have $6,900 plus the inflation factor, because you're able to contribute more over time, and you're going to have all the growth. All that's going to be tax-free to you. And that'll be your own long-term care policy. You might end up having $400,000, $500,000, depending on how you invested over the years, when you get ready to use that. And I've also seen employers offer as much as $1,500. So you participate in the HSA, and they'll kick in some money, almost like kind of like a match. So that's money left on the table, especially when you don't take advantage of the HSA and you just go with the normal PPO plan or the HMO plan, because, you know, just check the box. That's what everybody else does. You can get a little creative. So, hey, I can help you out. You know, a good advisor worth his or her salt can help you out, because these are things that you should be doing anyway. These are ways to put some octane on your financial plan. But if you need any help, 214-699-7599, extension 1, give me a holler, and we'll work something out where we can help you maximize the benefits. So that's another $1,500. Let's just say your employer throws in $1,500. So now we're up to $10,500 that you've left on the table by not doing these first two things. That's already five figures. Let's look at the other one, dependent FSA. Let's say most people are going to have some kids along the way, right? So, and most employers, a lot of them, allow you to do a dependent FSA, flexible spending account. Now, this is a strategy that I would adopt. I would say, instead of doing the flexible spending account on the medical side, where that money, if you don't use it by the end of the calendar year, like it's like a cafeteria plan, it goes away. Instead of putting money there, put it in the HSA. And then if they offer a dependent FSA where you can use it for childcare, because your kid spends, you know, half the day in daycare while you're at work, then use that. Then you're able to use both plans. And usually can put like $5,000 of pre-tax earnings in there. So that's $5,000 that you don't get taxed on. So you get the $5,000 tax deduction. You get the $1,500, let's say they do that, on your HSA. And then you got another $9,000 from a match. That's $15,500. That's not uncommon, by the way. Like, I'm not giving you just these outrageous numbers. That's not uncommon. That strategy could work. And that's $15,000 in benefits and tax breaks that you're not using. And that's the reason why you would try. You need to hire somebody, usually like myself, that helps you walk through and illuminate, you know, the benefits, the uncovered gems that are in these employer plans. Because I'm telling you, employers put these in there and a lot of people don't look at them. But employers, they allocate a budget for this, in most cases, millions of dollars for this, because they can get such a big tax break on this. If you just ever kind of just take your company's financial statements at the end of the year or the end of the quarter and look at how much gets devoted to salaries and HR and admin and all that kind of stuff. That's usually the categories that they put that in. And those are all above the line. So, right, you get revenue, then you subtract those, and then that net revenue there, that number is the one that flows through to taxes. So it's just, I don't know, it's a little accountancy there, but the point is they use it for a tax break. So like I said, if we add up all those, you get 15 and five in benefits and that you're underutilizing. So definitely you need to have every so often, it's good to just have a good comprehensive overview or review of your employer benefits to make sure you're not missing anything, because there's a lot there. So if you do want that type of review, hit me up. You can get on my calendar so we can kind of go through what your situation is and make sure we get you the right advice. Okay. So major takeaway is, I believe that a lot of these employer plans have a lot of fine print that usually puts you to sleep. You know, it's definitely go to sleep type of reading. But for somebody that's seen literally hundreds of plans, they're able to navigate those a lot easier than you would be able to. So make sure you employ somebody that you can trust that will give you that information so that you can take advantage of it. All right. So the obvious 401k, the HSA, and I would say the dependent FSA are the top three that I see underutilized the most, that you can really put some octane on your plan if you utilize those. So hopefully this has been helpful. Last but not least, I'm going to do this. Let's do this real quick. I haven't done this all series, and this is the end, and I want to do this. So this is where you can go, djhendersonsr.com/wealth-guide. All right. This is the offer that I've been giving for the last four episodes. So just kind of scroll down. I will say that if you're not in the medical sales field, you can still download this. I do a lot of marketing to that space, and so therefore that's why you see that. But this guide has kind of some tried and true aspects and principles that you can use whether you're in medical sales or whether you're not. So don't be afraid of that part of it. But here is the guide, and just put your name in, your email, and download. It'll send straight to your email, and that's what you want there. And that was what I was covering over these last four episodes. So hopefully that is helpful to you. I want to be able to give you the type of tools that you need that are going to move the needle for you, so to speak. And if you need a little help with that, always you can give me a call. Like I said, 214-699-7599, extension 1. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you later and see you back next week. Bye-bye.